From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, April 28th, 2016, we are so honored, like always, that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. And hey, folks, tonight is the night. That's right, the NFL Draft Round 1 takes place. And, of course, on today's show, we will give you a preview of tonight's NFL Draft. Who will the Detroit Lions pick at number 16? And what Spartans will go in the first round? That and more, folks. And we encourage you all to chime in, of course, on that conversation and anything that happens to be on your sports noggin. You know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, folks, the new Detroit Red Wings Arena has a name now. Yeah, you'll find out what that name is in just a second. I'm a bit puzzled, I must say. So we'll talk about that. Also on the show, we will invite Brooks Lambeer, who is a scout for the Portland Timbers in Major League Soccer. Brooks will weigh in on, of course, Dan Gilbert and Tom Gores announcing that the D plans to enact a Major League Soccer team. And also, Brooks will talk about being a scout in Major League Soccer and whether or not we will ever see soccer become a mainstream sport right here in America. And on the back end of the show, it's a bit of a sad day because our current sports production assistants, who have done a fantastic job all semester, will be bidding us adieu. That's right. The final day for the PAs here on the show. They will be live in studio with me. You don't want to miss that. Man, a packed show. But hey, you know how we started. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 28th. All right, folks, the NFL Draft starts tonight with round one, starting at 7 p.m. at Grant Park in the Shire. That's right, Chicago. The two biggest questions on a lot of people's minds are, where will former Michigan State quarterback Connor Cook go in the draft, and who will the Lions draft with the 16th overall pick? Again, today's a bit of a draft special here on the show. We will dive into those two topics and so much more. You don't want to touch that dial, trust me. And good recruiting news continues to roll in for Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State football team. Michigan State recently received a commitment from Ohio three-star running back Weston Bridges, along with three-star linebacker Darian Clements. This continues the trend of D'Antonio and his coaching staff recruiting well in the state of Ohio. All right, the Michigan State baseball team, they played yesterday afternoon, and Michigan State baseball starter Keegan Barr picked up his first win of the season yesterday, leading Michigan State to a 4-1 win over Toledo yesterday afternoon. Barr allowed only one run and five hits and five innings for the Spartans. Zach McGuire hit a solo homer for the Spartans in the contest as well. All right, folks, the Detroit Tigers. Brad Ausmus' decision to bat J.D. Martinez second in the lineup paid off big time for the Tigers in a 9-4 win over the Oakland Athletics last night. He ended up igniting the Tigers with a three-run blast. And V-Mart, that's right, Victor Martinez, put the Athletics away with another three-run homer later in the contest. JV, Justin Verlander, picked up the dub, allowing three earned runs in 6 1/3 innings of work. All right, folks, Major League Soccer could be coming to the D. Dan Gilbert has announced that he is partnered with MLS in an attempt to bring a franchise to the Motor City as a part of a $1 billion. Yes, billion with a B investment into Detroit. Nothing is set in stone as of yet, but the prospect is exciting nonetheless. Again, we will invite Brooks Lambeer, scout for the Portland Timbers of the MLS, to talk about that subject and so much more. Don't touch that dial. In a Sports Illustrated profile, get this story, crazy story. Turner Sports broadcaster Craig Sager, who of course is battling cancer right now, recalled a story in which he apparently saved Dennis Rodman from committing suicide. Of course, Dennis Rodman is a famed Detroit Pistons player from back in the day, won some championships with the Pistons during the Bad Boys era, and of course played with Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls in the 90s. Now, according to the story, in 1993, Rodman went missing from the Pistons and was planning to commit suicide until Sager tracked him down at a Detroit strip club named the Landing Strip. Quote, he had the gun. He was going to do it. I told him how stupid that would be, end quote. Sager said in the story. That is remarkable, remarkable piece. I look forward to reading that in Sports Illustrated. All right, moving on. The NFL doesn't see really any need to reopen settlement talks with New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady regarding his upcoming 4-game suspension this season, according to Adam Schefter. According to a league source, the NFL doesn't believe the NFL Players Association or anyone from Brady's camp has provided a reason to renew settlement discussions after the suspension was upheld by a federal appeals court earlier this week. The league believes the time for those talks has come and gone. You think? And sadly, last but not least, famed multimillionaire ABA owner Ozzie Salina passed away yesterday at the age of 83. He was known for orchestrating one of the best deals in sports history 40 years ago when he agreed to dissolve the Spirits of St. Louis for a small portion of the NBA's future broadcast revenue. It is estimated that he and his brother Dan have collected $750 million since the merger. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver released a statement later on Tuesday saying, quote, we were simply saddened to learn that former ABA team owner Ozzie Salina has passed away. Ozzie and his brother Dan owned the St. Louis Spirits at a time when the ABA's future was uncertain, but he loved the game and was determined to be a part of professional basketball. We send our heartfelt condolences to Dan and the entire Salina family. Ozzie, he will certainly be missed, folks. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on the airwaves. Or you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, so much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
You have the situation like KG in Boston, now Chris and Blake. Who do you lean on to make sure you don't get discouraged?
I don't know. You know, hey, that's a good question. I don't have an answer. I actually do.
To put that good question another way, can you avoid being discouraged? It's discouraging. How could you not be discouraged?
I'm not crying over being discouraged. Brad made me think about my mom, and so. That would have been the person. So. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We are so thrilled to be with you guys on a Thursday afternoon, a rainy and cold one here in mid-Michigan, folks. A beautiful day yesterday, in the high 50s, sun was out. Did get a little nippy as the day went on, but man, it is freezing today. I actually ran into Isaac when he was on his way walking in, and he had on his big camo winter jacket, just completely wrapped up. to brave the cold. So I hope that you guys aren't getting sick out there. That's the main thing. You know, when you have that transition from, you know, winter to spring and then into summer, I mean, you're going to have some days here in Michigan where it's going to be nice one day, then the next day it looks like there's a blizzard outside, all right? So be safe, folks, and dress accordingly. But, you know, I love to start off each and every show with the best thing that I saw or heard in the world of sports. And yesterday, right before, of course, the NBA playoff matchup between the Portland Trail Blazers and the Los Angeles Clippers game took place. You know, it should say in game five of the first round series, Coach Doc Rivers, his eyes welled up and became, you know, he became a bit, you know, choked up before that game in game five. And, you know, he was asked a question. I mean, who do you lean on in times like this? We all know that the LA Clippers are really going through it right now, of course, with injured stars, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul now out for the rest of the playoffs. And it's going to be an uphill climb now, because if you look at that series, my goodness, 3-2, Portland in complete control. Golden State handled business last night, eliminating officially now the Houston Rockets. And, you know, I found this bite fitting because, hey, it's a subtle reminder to you all that next week is Mother's Day. Yes, that's right. Mother's Day, folks. Don't forget about moms. Sunday, May 8th. And it always seems to creep up on me. I'm such a last-minute spender. So when I saw that bite, I couldn't help but think of my own mom. But Doc, you know, he's asked a question. I mean, who do you lean on? And he said, yeah, you know, I don't know. And the immediate answer, I guess, as soon as he said that, came to mind. And, of course, it would have been his mother, Betty Rivers. But she sadly passed away in June in Maywood, Illinois, the Chicago suburb where Rivers grew up and starred at Proviso East High School. And she was 82 years old. So I felt that that was a really touching moment. And it's rare in sports where you get to see the human side of individuals, especially as a reporter, okay? And I thought that was a fantastic question, too. That was Isaac, don't you think that was a really good question? That's a question.
Excellent.
That's an outside-the-box question. You know what I mean? Who do you lean on in times like that? I'm always, as a journalist, because I hate the cliche, okay, what did you do in the third quarter? You know, how are you approaching this matchup? Well, obviously, we're trying to win, right? All of the questions that allude to a really simple sports answer. But that's a question that really makes you dig deep and think a little bit. And I thought that journalist did a great job in asking that. So, but it is a reminder, though, that next week is Mother's Day. And are you prepared for that, Isaac? What do you do on Mother's Day usually?
So,
hopefully your mom isn't listening, I should say.
No, well, unfortunately, the past two summers now, or this summer and then last summer, I've had to miss Mother's Day because of being away at college, of course, and being up here for work and all sorts of other different things. So I want to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day, even if it's an early one from the bottom of my heart. I love her so much. So I've got plans for a present. I've got plans for a trip down.
Is she listening right now?
There's a probably not, but okay. There is a chance. So I'm not going to reveal anything.
Okay.
But I've got my ideas. I definitely have my ideas. What about you?
Well, we need to wrap, dude, because I've run out of ideas over the years.
Okay.
And, you know, I think last year I bought my mom this really expensive purse. My mom knows this. I always call her bougie because she wants to live like a Kardashian. I always say this to my mom. Right? I love her to death. Love her to death. But my goodness, she has expensive tastes, okay? So we'll rap about that after the show. So, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. As I stated at the top of the hour, we've got a great show coming for you guys, as we will invite Brooks Lambeer around the 1:30 mark. He is an MLS scout, Major League Soccer scout, for the Portland Timbers. That's right. And very timely interview here, considering the fact that Tom Gorse and Dan Gilbert actually had a press conference to announce that right now it looks as though the ball is moving for an MLS team to grace the city of Detroit. So we'll get Brooks's thoughts on that. And also, of course, I feel like we have this conversation every time we talk about the game of soccer. But, you know, can an MLS team survive in the city of Detroit? Where is the trend when it comes to popularity in the world of soccer? Will soccer ever become mainstream? And also, we'll even dive into, you know, what, you know, being a scout for Major League Soccer, what Brooks looks for, and how does he exactly know when a player has it, okay, the it factor, all right? So we'll invite Brooks to the show later on. And also, bittersweet day, because it is the final show for our production assistants that have done one great job throughout this entire semester. You guys know that the Journalism 418 class operates right here out of the Current Sports Hub each and every semester. And they say bye-bye during the summertime, and they come back each and every fall and spring semester. And this group was a really fantastic group. And we have three of them live in studio, and they will be talking about their time here on the show, stories they've covered, their favorite memories, and also what they're going to be doing post-graduation, because we do have at least one of them I know. I think, Connor, are you graduating? Yeah. Connor is also a senior. I think Jason. So we have Connor Hayes. We've got Brett Cast and Jason Ruff all in studio, and Jason's the only young pup in here. Brett and Connor will be going across that Breslin Center stage, getting that degree, and then, as I like to say, life hits. And it's like, okay, I got to start applying for a job. So we'll get them on the air in just a second. They're chilling right now, but we'll get them on their final show. So it's going to be, hopefully I don't shed a tear. And hopefully you guys have your tissue box at hand. Right, Isaac?
Oh, yeah. It's been a sentimental show so far, huh?
Yeah, and we're doing this today because tomorrow I'll be out of town in Ohio. So we'll have a best of for you guys on Friday's Current Sports. So we want to start off today because it's a big day. Big day in the world of the NFL, okay? Because, of course, round one of the NFL draft is tonight out in Chicago, man. That's right. Chi-Town will be hosting the draft, I think, for what, the second straight year now?
The second straight year they've done this.
I love the location of Chicago. I love the city of Chicago, so I think it's a fitting location for this event to take place. But there are really a lot of questions to be answered when discussing the local conversations that can be had in relation to the NFL draft. And, you know, right now, I think one of the biggest conversations when concerning NFL draft locally here in Michigan is which Spartans are high picks, which Spartans are going to go tonight in round one of the NFL draft. So, you know, when you really look at it, Isaac, you know, and I got to get this off my chest, too, because this is something that's really been bothering me since we've been evaluating interviews, since we've been talking about the NFL Combine. And it's bothered me in direct relation to Connor Cook. This past weekend, Isaac, and this happened a few times. This past weekend, though, another anonymous source came out and decided to take a knock on Connor Cook's leadership abilities because of him not being a captain during his senior year on the Michigan State football team. And, you know, this really bothers me from this perspective. First off, it's an anonymous source. It's an anonymous NFL scout out here making these comments. And I always say this, if you're going to make comments concerning a player's draft stock, and when you're talking about draft stock here, you are talking about millions of dollars, okay? You're talking about, you know, someone's wallet here. Because, again, one anonymous comment from an NFL scout can really hurt the draft stock of any player out there. So, you know, you have this anonymous source that comes out spewing this dialogue about Connor Cook's draft stock. It really has no validity in my mind, seeing as though Connor Cook's resume stacks up against any other quarterback who is going to be taken in this year's NFL draft. So it really has no validity in my eyes. But the fact that it's an anonymous source and that you're playing around with someone's future and someone's salary when they do make that leap to the NFL, I have a huge problem with that. But the big question on everyone's mind is whether or not Connor Cook is going to be a first-round pick. Will Connor Cook's name be called tonight? And it's interesting because I'm looking at a few mock drafts here. And I'm looking at social media here left and right. And right now, it looks as though most of the websites that I've done my research on, a lot of them have Connor Cook going late in the first round. More so specifically, many people have Connor Cook going as the last pick of the NFL draft first round to the Denver Broncos. I'll read one of them here. Just, you know, this is coming from SB Nation, for example. Quote, and this is just someone's dialogue. Let's see who wrote this article. Alex Reno of SB Nation. He says he has Cook going to the Denver Broncos with the 31st pick overall. He says, quote, "I don't know if there is a better player slash team fit out there than Connor Cook in the Denver Broncos. I'm not too crazy about Cook as a prospect, but he is the absolute perfect fit for Kubiak's under center offense." So that's the big question, and I want to propose that question out there. Do you think Connor Cook is a first-round draft pick? What do you think? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, because I personally believe that he is, Isaac. And I think we had brief chatter early on this week, and I remember we had chatter, I think 2 months ago, about this very subject, and you don't believe that Connor Cook is going to go in the first round, but I do think there are two names from Spartan Nation that will be called tonight. I think that it's a no-brainer that Jack Conklin, offensive tackle for Michigan State, is going to be called somewhere between 10 and 20 tonight. I actually have on my mock draft, I got Jack going number 15 to the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if you have him in that range at all, but I think Jack, and it's so amazing when looking at Jack's story. It's crazy looking at how he literally started from the bottom at Michigan State, you know, and just constantly just got better throughout his time. So I got Jack going pretty high. I think we both can agree on that. But do you think that Connor will be taken tonight?
Well, and I've got Jack going even higher than you do. I have him going up at number 7 to the San Francisco 49ers. I think they're going to get an offensive tackle. I just think it depends on who they get. I think it's between Jack Conklin and then Laramie Tunsil, if he is available at that position. I think they'll strongly consider him. And then there are a few other names that you could throw in there. But at the same time, I don't think Connor Cook goes tonight because I just think the other quarterbacks have exceeded what Connor Cook has done. Connor Cook's done
so
much.
Stop, Isaac.
Listen, Connor Cook has done so much. But here's what I think.
Please explain it. Back that up, dude.
I think Paxton Lynch has more potential than Connor Cook. I think there will be 3 quarterbacks to go in the first round. Obviously, number 1 and 2 are Carson.
Jared Goff's going number 1.
Jared Goff's
without
number
a
1.
Doubt.
Because he's going to L.A. He's a hometown boy. He's the Cali dude. Yeah, he's going to stick around in that newly rebranded L.A. Rams franchise. Carson Wentz is number 2 to the Eagles.
Yep.
But Paxton Lynch, here's my take. I think Connor Cook is a great quarterback. I think he is a future starter in the NFL. I think he has done so much for the Spartan program. But I think talent-wise, he does not have what Paxton Lynch has. He does not have the frame. Paxton Lynch is 6'7". He can hang in the pocket and is still mobile. That's reminiscent of Brock Osweiler, who the Denver Broncos were hoping to build a team around. Then Connor Cook also had the shoulder injury as the season went along. That's not something that you want when you've got a guaranteed starting quarterback that you're ready to grow with and build with. You don't want any injury issues whatsoever.
But Isaac, Paxton Lynch played at Memphis, dude. Come on. When you look at Connor Cook, this is a Big Ten quarterback who played in a pro-style offense his entire college career. Connor Cook certainly has the frame and durability to succeed at the next level. And resume-wise, there is no other quarterback that can stack up resume-wise to what Connor Cook did throughout his time at Michigan State. I just don't see how he's not a round one quarterback. Now, again, I also want to throw this out there, too, because this is another layer to this conversation. When you evaluate drafts, no matter what sport it is, it's all circumstantial. It's all about filling a void, filling a need for your respective team. So when looking at where Connor Cook goes, hey, let's be real here. I mean, a lot of these teams, especially the mid-tier teams, already have a quarterback in place. You know what I mean? So will he be drafted high? That's all circumstantial because some team may need more help on the defensive end or on their respective line. So it's all circumstantial. But in that regard, when looking at what Connor Cook was able to do, I don't know how you can argue that Paxton Lynch is a better package than Connor Cook. I don't know. It's all opinion-based. It's all opinion-based.
You argue it off of potential because Paxton Lynch, he is more raw than Connor Cook is.
Connor Cook also had a situation
where his senior year he experienced almost a decline If you have asked anybody, if Connor Kukuov came out after his junior year, he's a first-round draft pick. Senior year, coming out, Connor Cook struggled in some of the biggest games, including against Oregon. And against Alabama, he threw the decisive pick where
but
the game got away.
You can't put all of that, all of those losses on the shoulders of one man,
I don't put
Isaac.
The losses
Come
on his shoulders. I put the interceptions on his shoulders. The exact shoulder that was injured.
Isaac, not
the
all
exact
of the interceptions
shoulder,
were Connor
Not
Cook's
all
fault.
Of the
Come
interceptions.
On, dude.
The interceptions that I'm talking about in big games, which are
Stop,
troubling
man.
Red flags. Connor Cook's accuracy has always been a matter of concern. That's why he wasn't as highly recruited in college. And guess what? He proved them wrong.
This is the thing.
But
this
that
the thing.
Will catch up to him in the NFL.
If it's one thing that Connor has to improve on, and I've said this multiple times throughout his career, it's his footwork. His footwork sometimes does not allow him to be the most accurate quarterback. But at the same time, I saw Connor Cook multiple times throughout his senior year at Michigan State put some throws on a dime, put throws on a leash. I mean, it was unbelievable,
dude.
He's
a great college quarterback.
My gosh.
I agree. All of these guys are great college quarterbacks. What you've got to understand, I had this great teacher in middle school, right? So he gave us a project. He said, one person's going to get an A, one's going to get a B, one's going to get a C, one's going to get a D, one's going to get an F. And that's fair because that's how the game of life is played. You can be as good as you want and get that F because it's a comparative game. I don't think Connor Cook's a bad prospect whatsoever. The questions about his leadership, those do downgrade his stock. I don't necessarily agree with all of them, but the Archie Griffin snub of the handshake is an issue which
Stop.
Other quarterbacks did not have.
You're
other
not
quarterbacks
that,
do
Isaac.
Not
you,
have that.
Are you kidding? Was that really a big deal?
Ow. You
was
thought
that,
it was a bigger
big
deal,
deal
than I did.
No.
When it came out, you
it looked bad.
Thought it
yeah,
was a
I
big
said it
deal.
Looked bad. But the kid was caught up in the moment. Looking back, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Looking back at it, Isaac, you know, he just came off of an incredible win. Incredible win. He's in the moment. He made a mistake. And then right after that, literally minutes after that, he goes on the Big Ten Network and says, you know what? That does look bad. I apologize, dude. I just think we are so sensitive. And this is the aspect I hate when discussing the draft. We are so sensitive to the little things that we don't look at the entire body of work. Okay? And we always talk about the P word, potential, potential, potential. Why don't you look at some film of what the kid did and how he led his team to the college football playoff? Why don't you look at the numbers and how, in comparison to the all-time great quarterbacks that have graced this campus, Connor Cook's resume is the best statistically. I just think that, and it goes to my point about the whole NFL Combine, that the NFL Combine is so overrated, dude.
I agree.
I don't think how, you know, just because you run a 40 time,
it's
it doesn't stack
day.
Up to everybody else, it drops your stock tremendously. I mean, come on, man. And another thing about Connor Cook, he never had not one off the field issue. So I think you're reaching. I
no,
think we're you're
here's
reaching
the thing,
in,
though.
In,
I'm not saying those are huge deals. What I'm saying is point out one thing to me that Paxton Lynch has done, which is notorious. That Jared Goff has done, which is notorious. That Carson Wentz has done, which is notorious. I'm not saying that it's a huge deal. I'm saying it's not something which you necessarily want in comparison. The other stat I want to bring up, because you're talking about stats, stats, stats. Connor Cook, in his last four games of his college football career, passed for over 50% completion one time. One time of
that,
four
there's
games.
There's a lot of factors to go into that, Isaac. That's a lot of factors. You get better teams at the end of the year.
50% is not much
Better
to ask.
Teams at the end of the year that they face.
50% is not much to ask.
Different defensive schemes. You're reaching. I think you're really reaching. Call in, folks. 517-355-9527. You hear the phones in the background. 517-355-9527. Where do you think Connor Cook will go? How many Spartan names will we hear tonight? And, you know, also, you know, there's this other team that'll be drafted at number 16. The Detroit Lions. That's right. Who should the Detroit Lions draft? Now, I've heard a few names thrown out there. You hear Sheldon Rankins. Of course, he's a defensive tackle from Louisville. A lot of people like him. Shaq Lawson, also defensive end from Clemson. So there are multiple needs for this Detroit Lions team going into next season. And I think when you look at both the offensive and defensive line, they need help there. I think when you evaluate the defensive secondary, they need help there. So, you know, I'm curious to know. And again, it looks as though, you know, those target areas, both the line and defense, are the areas of concern. And I see a lot of names thrown out here. I think it's really a crapshoot. I saw one guy throw out 20 possible players that the Lions can draft. So I don't know. I'm confused as to who the Lions are going to draft right now, to be honest with you guys. Taylor Decker, that's another name that comes up. Taylor is an offensive tackle for Ohio State, 6'7", 310 pounds. Laquon Treadwell of Ole Miss, wide receiver. You know, we've seen the Lions love to love to draft
please
that wide receiver position.
No.
But please don't.
Please
exactly.
No.
But how many times have we seen the Lions? You know, we think they're going to do something with the defense, right? And they completely fool us all in drafting Eric Ebron or another wide receiver. So I've come to learn, when it comes to round one of the NFL draft with the Detroit Lions, expect the unexpected. That's all I'm saying, guys. So, hey, Laquon Treadwell, put some money down. You may see that.
That's who you think?
No.
Okay, good.
Very sarcastic
very
right
facetious.
Now, okay? Deron Lee, also linebacker at Ohio State. His name has been thrown around as well. So call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break and get to our guest for today's show, you know who's on the line. Line one, we've got Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Skipper.
What's up, my man?
I say Connor Cook's a first-round pick. You know why I say that?
Why is that, Ray?
He beat the Bullies three straight times.
I love the Ray laugh. Can we just?
Evil sound.
How sweet is that, huh?
That was
hey,
an evil
Connor
laugh.
Cook, didn't he ever get over that shoulder injury?
Yeah, he's fine. According to what I've seen, nothing about his shoulder. Have you seen anything out there, Isaac?
I think the shoulder is good.
Yeah, I think he's 100% healthy right now. The only thing that I've been constantly hearing is just these anonymous NFL pro scouts out there that keep saying that, oh, he wasn't a leader. He wasn't a leader. He wasn't a captain. I don't know.
Hey, they play the Jets need a quarterback, and so does Denver. Why wouldn't they pick him at 31 at least?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing in like five sources I saw this morning when looking at a few mock drafts, they have Connor Cook going 31 to the Denver Broncos. So it's a possibility. It's a possibility, Ray. But yeah,
I was thinking he could sit behind Sanchez for a year and then be ready to take over.
Yeah. And you know, it's all circumstantial too. You know, and I think, you know, there's value in sitting out that, you know, because first off, you know, I want to say this, Isaac, you know, when you look at those high picks, like, for example, you know, on my draft, I think you and I may agree on this, I think Jared Goff's going number one to the L.A. Rams.
Yes.
They really like Goff. You know what I mean? And, hey, Nick Foles is not the answer out there. Let's be real here.
Agreed.
You know, Jared Goff, you know, this young kid is going to have to deal with so much pressure being the number one pick overall at the quarterback position. There's value in sitting on that bench for a little bit, learning the system, and easing into an NFL start rather than just jumping into the fire right away. I actually like that better. If I'm a young QB, I don't know if I will come in, you know, want to come in and start right away. I don't know, Ray.
The perfect testament to that, too, is Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Brady as well.
Because he sat down
right
before he took over for Brett Favre.
Exactly.
And look how that turned out. That was all the experience that he accrued learning from one of the game's
best. Exactly. Remember Tom Brady? Tom Brady was the same way.
Drew Bledsoe.
And Drew Bledsoe was the guy, and then all of a sudden Drew gets hurt. Tom goes in there, and hey, boom, magic happens. Well, so, yeah, I hear you, Ray.
Well, look how many years it took Kurt Warner. It took 10 years for him to really establish himself.
You're right. You exactly.
You know,
Ray, you know something I noticed? Isaac and I noticed this. You are going to find a way. We could be talking about golf. You're going to find a way to put in Kurt Warner in that discussion, aren't you?
Well, I still want him in the Hall of Fame. I think he belongs there.
Kurt's your guy.
Anyway,
I love it. I love
those
it.
Top two guys could end up being busts, both of them. You know, there's no guarantees with this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
McShay has him 10th and 11th best player.
So true. That's another thing, Ray. I mean, and this is why I'm a fan of sports. But I'm not one of those guys. And I was talking to the PAs before this, Isaac. And Ray, I'm not one of those guys who's glued to my television during the draft. I don't care for drafts that much. You know, after round one, I'll watch because I like, you know, seeing the guys go up there and shake the commissioner's hand. And I like, you know, I probably like to see Roger Goodell get booed tonight. You know what I mean? And, you know, but after round one, I'm like, all right, I'll get the rest of the draft on my phone. I'm not glued to my television.
And I want to hear what Mel Kiper had to say when Jamarcus Russell was drafted. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
because
right.
You know what I'd like to know? You know what I'd like to know? How many third to fifth round picks are unfree agent guys end up in the Hall of Fame over some of these first and second round picks?
I don't know, Ray. We'll have to wait and see.
And you know, I might also say something about the Detroit Lions now, okay?
Okay.
When I was a kid, I was a big Lions fan, okay? And I told my son, he gets still mad about the Lions every year left and right. And I said, they've never had a front office for 50, 60 years. They used to have a great, fearsome foursome, Alex Karras and all them back in my day. And they'd always lose 9-7, 7-6 to Bart Starr and the Packers. Paul Ernie would kick a winning field goal against them. They always had a quarterback, and the Lions haven't. 50 years later, what's changed?
I totally agree with you, Ray. This is going to be an upcoming year, I think, where if they don't make the playoffs. And, you know, it's so crazy, though. When you look at last year, they finished the year strong. And you look at those games, it's like, you know, you almost would have liked to see the Lions maybe just tank, just lose those games.
I know.
You know what I mean? Because they were pointless games. They weren't making the playoffs. They would have gotten a higher pick than number 16. So, you know, even though I'm not a big fan of tanking, but you almost, from a logical standpoint, you look at it and say, okay, if the Lions didn't finish strong and may have lost, you know, the majority of their games in the year, they would have been like a top 10 pick somewhere.
Oh,
so,
how nice would DeForest Buckner look on that
line
if they just lost a few more games?
Exactly. Ray, great call.
How many busts has the Lions had on first-round picks? And you make your hay in the second, third, fourth, and fifth round. And the Seattle Seahawks are a perfect example of that, how they make out on the second, third, and fourth round. How many busts the Lions have year in and year out?
Yeah, exactly. And and look at their picks. The Lions have one first-round pick, of course, at number 16. They have 10 picks overall. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, Ray.
See how they do.
All right, thank you, Ray.
5 years before you know.
All right, my man Ray. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Brooks Lambeer. Brooks is an MLS scout for the Portland Timbers. We'll talk soccer when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm a bit puzzled. Really briefly, I want to throw this out too because I want to get your thoughts on this, guys. Again, 517-355-9527. So everyone in the state, of course, everyone in the city of Detroit is pretty excited about the new Red Wings Arena. And get this, folks. Today, the official name of the arena came out. So I'm sitting there, I'm saying, oh yeah, this is going to be great. I can't wait to see what we will be calling the new home of the Detroit Red Wings. And to much disappointment, I found out that the new Red Wings Arena will be named, get this, Little Caesars Arena.
Delicious.
Are you kidding me, Isaac? What a generic, lazy name for a state-of-the-art stadium. Oh, I'm going down to Little Caesars Arena. Like, come on, man. Come on, dude.
Nobody's going to call that.
No.
Thankfully.
Because, LC Arena or something? Or
yeah.
Going
I
down
mean,
to Caesars?
I can I give you an anecdote from back home because we've got something which is equally cringeworthy, the Smoothie King Center.
Oh, my goodness.
Instead of the New Orleans Arena, the Smoothie King Center. Let's blend it up.
Well, what squad is that?
The Pelicans.
That's what it's called?
That's what it's called.
I did not know that.
So,
okay.
I mean, everyone still calls it the New Orleans Arena, thankfully.
Right.
The Mercedes-Benz Superdome is still referred to locals as the Superdome.
Exactly.
So hopefully,
right.
I propose that we call this the New Joe. The New Joe.
I like that. That's not bad at all, to be honest. And the logo is puzzling, too. And, you know, Connor Hayes showed me the graphic and the unveiling of the logo for the arena. And, it, you know, you see Little Caesars, you know, Little Caesar guy. I don't even know what you call him. I'm going to call him the Little Caesars guy. Little Caesars guy. He comes on. He comes on and spins the pizza around, and the pizza falls on his steak, right? And then you just see the logo just come in out of nowhere. It makes no sense how the logo for Little Caesars translates to the logo of the new arena. Well, so I'm puzzled. I don't get it. I hate it. I hate
and
the name.
And the reasoning for the name is of course, Mike Ilitch is the founder of the Little Caesars company.
Right.
So from that perspective, it makes sense.
But it's lazy. It's poorly done. From a standpoint, though, it's great marketing because, again, Little Caesars is going to get so much pub from this. So I get it. It's all about business. It's all about the mighty dollar. Dollar bill, y'all. So there you go. Little Caesars Arena. Gosh, that's horrible. All right, let's get to our guest for today's show. His name is Brooks Lambeer. Definitely a friend of the show. It's always good having him on and talking soccer. He's now a Major League Soccer scout for the Portland Timbers, and he used to do just fantastic work with Impact Sports back in the day. Brooks, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Al. How about you?
Oh, it's always fantastic to hear your voice, my friend. And I want to start off our conversation with this. Of course, yesterday, it was announced by Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Tom Gorse, owner of the Detroit Pistons, that they will be teaming together and trying to bring a Major League Soccer team to the city of Detroit. What was your reaction when you heard that story?
Well, I know from the soccer community, they've just kind of been talking throughout the years that, you know, the cities wanted a team. They've tried for the Silverdome many years ago with the new one. The guy from Canada had purchased it, and, you know, it kind of fell through there. But the Detroit area and the state of Michigan in general has always had very strong youth soccer program, very good collegiate programs with Michigan State, Michigan, Oakland, Western Michigan, U of Mercy. So, I mean, my thought is I think it's a great idea. They need to get the stadium arranged first, obviously. Mm-hmm. Make sure they have all that taken care of, and then they need to make sure they have investors to make sure everything goes through. Because if you kind of notice with David Beckham in Miami, is that he got the stadium, but he didn't get enough investors to back him. So now he's looking to Vegas to with where the Raiders want to move to see if they want to put an MLS team there. So let's get the first two things taken care of, and then hopefully we have a team in 2020, and then go from there.
Now, Brooks, realistically, what must happen for this to be a long-standing success for years to come?
And I would say first thing is after, you know, like I said, once the stadium and the investors get, you know, they get investors to invest in the project, building probably an academy team would probably be the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of MLS teams, such as the Portland Timbers, have an academy program. And
what do you,
you
mean
know,
by they, academy program for people like me who's just soccer stupid?
Sure, yeah. it's a place for kids in high school to train, you know, even at late middle school to start training, learn mm-hmm. how your MLS team plays their system, you know, getting them ready, professionally ready to play at the next level, whether they choose to come out of high school and go to the professional team if they're good enough, or if they go to college and then, you know, once they're done with college, they can come back and play professionally. So that's probably the first thing they need to do. And then, I mean, I'd say the second thing is they need to get a premier development team, which is what the Michigan Bucks are. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if things happen that maybe, you know, they team up with Dan Dugan of the Michigan Bucks and, you know, they get a partnership going. And then the thirdly would be to get a USL team, which is, we call it second tier. NASL is, some may call it second tier, but USL, a lot of Major League Soccer teams have, it's kind of like a minor league system to feed into your first team.
Mm-hmm. So, Brooks, you know, I looking at this project, I got to ask, because, again, you've been with the Portland Timbers, and I want you to kind of put in perspective how popular Major League Soccer is here in America, because I've heard mixed results and mixed thoughts on it. I even heard, you know, from a few media outlets in the area and nationally abroad as well, that no one cares about Major League Soccer when it comes to a fan perspective. I want you to battle with me about that statement, and what does an average attendance look like at a regular season MLS soccer game?
I mean, they average, you know, 10,000, 15,000. I mean, I see a lot of them sold out, depending on the day. You know, NASL teams, I believe the one in Miami, they sold out with 9,000. They had 9,000 people going to the game. So I wouldn't say that people don't care about soccer.
Well, let me rephrase that. If I said that, apologies. No one cares about the MLS, specifically the MLS. What do you think about that?
No, I mean, I think that's wrong. I think a lot of people do care about the MLS. I could argue that there's an MPSL team in Chattanooga, Tennessee, that would have such a great fan base. You know, they would like a professional team there. And, you know, look at Detroit City FC. You know, the part of the reason why Detroit is probably even considered for an MLS team is because of Detroit City. So, I would say that people care about the MLS. You know, they just need a domestic superstar. They need another Landon Donovan-esque person, which we're trying to look at Jordan Morris, who plays for the Seattle Sounders, who could, you know, potentially be one. He's still young. He's still got a long way to go. But, you know, they need a domestic superstar, not just one, but a few of them that attracts Americans to the game more.
I want to bring in this conversation as Will Brooks, our engineer Isaac Constance, to the show, because I know, Isaac, you are a big soccer aficionado, and I want to get your response on that too, because that's the general opinion I've been hearing about, you know, when it concerns MLS in Detroit specifically. The big concern here is, can this have sustained popularity for years to come? Can they fill the seats there? Does Detroit care about soccer?
And I think that's the question, because you see peaks and spikes in soccer interest after every World Cup year. And Brooks mentioned the need for a superstar to come through the American ranks. And currently that's all in progress. You see players overseas, and Brooks, you might have to help me out with the name here, but the young player for Borussia Dortmund right now, the first ever player.
Christian Pulisic.
Yes, exactly. He's the first ever player to score two goals at his age in the Bundesliga, the German league, and he's American. Then you see Julian Green, also overseas, a hot prospect. So all of those works for getting a superstar currently in progress. So I think for Detroit to sustain a soccer team, you first need to see American culture for soccer, acceptance for culture, continue to expand. And I think the U.S. national team is in charge of doing that.
So, Brooks, with that being said, what is realistic success in this squad's first year in the D?
For if Detroit did get an MLS team, are you saying?
Yes, and not from a standpoint of wins and losses here, but just from the impact that it has on the community. What would be considered a success, attendance-wise, I should say?
I mean, depending on how big the stadium is, I mean, I think if you get, you know, some sellouts, which I think they will because of the different races and ethnicities around the Detroit area and the growth, you know, the love for soccer across the state of Michigan, you know, I don't see why they can't sell out. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to say what's a success, I would say, you know, maybe aside from wins and losses, is who can you bring in that's going to like the city of Detroit? From a superstar perspective, maybe not to overpay someone, but to get someone that's going to attract fans to your game. And then also maybe some local guys. There are some very good local players that play professionally across the world that could come back to Michigan and play. So, you know, from a fan's perspective, you want someone that you can relate to, whether they're from Michigan or the Midwest area.
Brooks Lambeer, MLS scout for the Portland Timbers, is here with us on WKAR's Current Sports. Brooks, you know, when you look at soccer here in the United States, how far behind is the U.S. behind England, Spain, and other world powerhouses?
I'd say from a development standpoint, pretty far. It's not unrealistic to get there. I think this is what we work on every day, you know, whether you're in the Portland Timbers organization or you're the U.S., you know, soccer. You're working to figure out how to make clubs and academies across the United States better. how to train players the proper way, how to keep them fit, how to play against better competition. I mean, from a world standpoint, we aren't in a really bad position, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So, but as far as Spain, Italy, England, we're 5-10 years behind, I'd say.
Now, and looking at what you do, Brooks, how did you get involved with the Portland Timbers? Very cool stuff.
Well, I took a class through Sports Management Worldwide, and it was a scouting class. And I took the class, and the head domestic scout for the Portland Timbers was one of the teachers. So, you know, I kind of told them what I did over the last 3-4 years, you know, on Michigan State. And, you know, I kind of started talking about some players. And from there, he said, do you want to join the staff? And I said, sure. So, you know, even though everything I've seen from a Big Ten standpoint, you know, I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot to players to watch, whether that's at the college or youth level. And, you know, I still got to meet a lot of youth and college coaches as well.
I got to know, Brooks, what in the world is your schedule like?
Spring soccer for college, I kind of focused on first because that's what I really do and understood.
Right.
It's every other weekend I'm probably going somewhere. I know I've been in Indiana, been to Chicago, been in the Detroit area, been down to Dayton. You know, with the youth game going on now, you know, I'm probably seeing at least 5-6 games a weekend.
Wow, that's a lot. Now, how can you tell if a player has that it? You know what I mean? If a player is ready to play professionally?
Well, you have to see him multiple times. You know, you use your inside sources. You know, you ask coaches, what do you think of a certain player? And then you learn from what they tell you. I like it because of so-and-so. You know, it's very a watch and learn type of thing. You know, from a youth standpoint, you know, when you've watched a 13 or 14-year-old, it's not easy to tell because they haven't really grown into what they will be at 16, 17, 18.
Right.
So, you know, it's a lot of watching, repetitive watching, taking notes, just kind of have an instinct, what you feel is best for your team, what Caleb Porter would be for his first team, or what for our USL coach, Andrew Greger, would need for his team. So it's a lot of everything.
Now, Brooks, covering soccer as a scout, got to know, man, have you ever, you know, gotten the chance to link up with players like Vitai Alishe, who is now in the MLS, that you covered here at Michigan State?
You know, when Vitai, I saw him last fall, and I told him, I think I mentioned him, I was taking a scouting class. But no, we're friends on social media, and he likes some of the stuff, you know, when I was said when I was a scout for the Portland Timbers. So I think Vitai is aware of that. And then obviously, you know, the coaching staff at Michigan State understands because I have to work with them very closely. You know, it's kind of cool going from that you're trying to recruit guys to play against Vitai when you've seen him play for the last, for 2 or 3 years.
So true. Well, I tell you what, Brooks, we always enjoy talking soccer with you, my man, and we got to get you on very soon, especially in the summer months when I know soccer really ramps up. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Brooks Lambeer, who is now an MLS scout for the Portland Timbers. Brooks, thanks so much for your time, brother.
Thank you, Al. You have a good day, man.
You got it. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Well, just 5 minutes left here in the show, and we've come to the part where we have to say goodbye to our current sports production assistants for the semester. I can't believe the semester is now rolling to an end, as next week will be finals. And Isaac, I know, have you been studying, my man?
I've been too busy on my papers. It's all coming together. You've got the compunction of just papers and finals and tests. So,
right.
No, I haven't started studying yet. It's going to be a miserable weekend.
That's what I don't miss about college is finals, for sure. All right, well, we have three of our outstanding PAs who did one remarkable job all semester covering their respective beats, you know, meeting deadlines, and, of course, adding their own touch of flair day in and day out here to Current Sports. I want to invite to the show right now Jason Ruff, Brett Cast, and Connor Hayes as they will say us all, tell us all goodbye as they will now move on. And, man, I'm going to miss you guys. I will say that. First off, Jason, how you doing, my man?
Goodbye.
That's all Jason can say. Bye-bye. No. I'm out. Deuces. How you doing, though, Jason?
I'm good, Al. I'm actually pretty excited for this weekend. A lot of good stuff going on. Actually feeling pretty good. Isaac, how are you feeling about that Jern final in Bob's class?
Oh, goodness.
I'm feeling confident.
Me too. I'm not. That's actually the one final I'm like, oh, this. I'm good.
I don't miss classes at all, guys. So yeah. but to say goodbye, we only have 4 minutes here, Jason.
Yeah.
What did you like about this semester? What did you cover? What was your favorite story and favorite moment?
Well, what I really liked is being able to come on your show and be able to talk hockey. I was really privileged and blessed to have the opportunity. So I'd like to first off thank you for that, my man, Al. And, you know, I cover the MSU women's club hockey team and then some other stuff with the MSU baseball team and the MSU club lacrosse team. I'd have to say the favorite story I covered over the course of the year was Michigan State's women's club hockey team switching coaches and having Michigan's former coach to be their new coach now and getting to talk with him. Coach Blackburn, a wonderful guy. I think things are going to be really good for the Spartan Lady Icers moving forward.
Certainly. Well, we will certainly miss you, my friend. And you still have, what, one more year left or two more years
two
left?
Two, because I'm getting 2 degrees.
Okay, fantastic. So you're not...
I'm not done
yet.
You're
not saying bye-bye to East Lansing. You're still be in the area, and we have to bring you in. I'll be seeing throughout the summer.
Oh, for sure. We're going to golf.
You got it, my man. All right, let's bring in Brett Cass now. And Brett also did a great job all semester, and he wants to go into television broadcasting. I know when Brett is a senior, he'll be crossing the stage at the Breslin. Brett, just kind of give your favorite moments of the semester, and what will you be embarking on next, my friend?
Well, that's the big mystery, you know. I'm still waiting to find out. So if anyone listening has any jobs they know of, just let me know. Brettcast.com, check it out.
There you go.
Just spread the word. No, I'm still applying, still trying to figure out where to go. I'm applying, you know, some small markets. I'll move anywhere in the country, so I'm kind of excited to see. You know, it's kind of a mystery, and that's the exciting part of it, you know, to see where it all takes me. But favorite part of the semester, honestly, we had this final project due yesterday, and it's still trying to upload on my computer. I've been sitting here this whole time trying to get to work, so yeah, we'll see how that goes. But this story, honestly, was my favorite story to cover. It's on the Michigan State baseball field, being the first electric heated infield in the United States, or electric heated field, I should say. So it's a really cool story. It's kind of unique with the turf grass program here, how they incorporate all that together. So that was probably my favorite memory is doing that story. Also, just coming on the show and learning from you. I do the Impact radio show, host that. So I've kind of been able to watch you do your show and kind of learn some things from someone who's been doing it for a while and kind of take that in my own preparation as well. So it's been a really great semester.
It was a pleasure having you. And last but certainly not least, we have Connor Hayes, also a senior at Michigan State, and he will be crossing the Breslin Center stage very, very soon in May. Man, in May starts next week. I can't believe that. But Connor, how you doing, my friend, and what are you going to miss this year?
I'm doing pretty great. It's sad that this is the last show here, but I did learn a lot of valuable information, you know, how radio works behind the scenes. So that was really interesting for me.
Definitely. And what'd you cover, Connor?
I covered the table tennis team.
Yes, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't get a lot of coverage, but it was just really interesting just to go behind the scenes and see these people from, like, diverse backgrounds from China. I had to talk to somebody who was in, like, the 2008. We got to see the 2008 Olympic Games, the ping pong there, just to see their culture, see how big of a deal it is there. And I thought that was really great.
Very cool stuff.
Favorite memory was definitely April Fool's headliners.
I was going to say that, in fact. I'll miss that myself.
Connor had a lot of fun with that because you write for the Black Sheep, and that was right up your alley. So.
Oh, yeah, it was perfect.
Well, on behalf of all of us here at WKAR, we want to say great job, guys, and you will be missed, all right? And thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.